What's up, Pod Pals? It's your dad here. So this episode, we actually recorded before the Thanksgiving break. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Or post-Thanksgiving, I guess. But we opted to not post it because it's a bit of a controversial topic, to say the least. Or at least it is about controversial things. I wouldn't say the topic itself is necessarily controversial. But we didn't want you to put it on, not realizing your family bans you from eating dinner, and they divorce you in court, and then you sleep outside for the rest of your days. We don't want that to happen, so we're posting it now. So sorry it's a little bit late, but it's an interesting one. It's actually we've done this episode before. It's on moral dilemmas, or we've done this sub before, rather. And it's about one specific moral dilemma that I saw on the sub this week, and I thought it was quite interesting. We also talk in depth about Baby Yoda and the new Tesla truck, and actually have a pretty lengthy, interesting discussion about the genesis of certain memes and what they say about where we are at society or in society at that time. So it's quite interesting. But again, sorry for the delay. Trigger warning for this episode, and enjoy. We'll be back very soon. All right.
The SJWs, the shill media, is doing exactly what we always predict they're going to do, and now they're coming for Baby Yoda. Why are they coming for Baby Yoda? Because the same Star Wars fans that they claim that are toxic and that can never be happy with anything are now happy with Baby Yoda.
Did you write it?
Sketchers, and she was speaking and talking so shamefully about it.
Really?
Like, she was very embarrassed about the fact that she had worked at Skechers.
What?
And I was like, lady, listen, you don't have to, it's okay to not like your job, like your product, but be proud of your job. You don't have to.
I would be so proud. I mean, God, those Skechers, were some iconic middle school shoes.
They're everywhere. And they seem to have endless amounts of cash, right?
Yeah.
They must be doing really well.
Well, I've heard reports that they are the second most popular shoe brand in the world.
They must be behind based on their commercials.
Nike?
Yes, I think so.
Wowie. That's are they insane. Owned?
Couldn't tell you.
Well, go Skechers, man. They really did it. That girl, shout out to that girl with that design eye, that hot design eye.
Yeah, man. That hot design eye, good work.
I don't know why she was so weird about it. It was strange because it was also one of those conversations where I was just like, I'm bad at if I'm like meeting a stranger and I feel like they're getting too intimate with me.
Oh,
I start to be like, cool. I gotta go.
Pull
yeah,
him back.
Let's give me an example here. Let's do a little role play.
Well, I don't know. I just started feeling like I was getting like, she was nice. I mean, I had no problem talking to her, but then I was getting a little bit like,
she's telling you about her trauma and her childhood and stuff like that.
No, but it starts feeling that energy. And then
how about these taco rolls? And she's like, I was molested. You're like, whoa. We're talking about wedding food here, lady.
We're talking about Skechers.
We're talking
2 seconds
about
ago.
Wedding food here, lady.
Lady?
Come off it. Come right off it.
I know. That's funny. God. Well, anyway, this is Did You Read It, weekly podcast about the internet, by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
Every day.
Am I sounding too creamy right now? I can't tell. I think I'm. Maybe it's just the tenor of my voice.
You know what?
Morning.
I got to say, there's zero moisture in the air right now. A lot of wind blowing. I think it's taking some cream out of the studio.
It could be. It does feel like there's a little drier.
It does.
Weird.
It feels like a goddamn tinderbox in here.
Yeah. I woke up and my left eye today feels swollen.
Well, that means the Left Eye Lopez goblin is coming to get
you. Oh, yeah. It's the ghost of Left Eye. comes in the night when the wind is dry.
Everybody knows that old story.
It's an old wives' tale. Oh, you haven't heard. It's the ghost of Left Eye. Yeah, I don't know why. This has been something that's been coming up a lot.
If you ever wake up with like gunk in your eye or like a sty,
you've been visited.
Or like pink eye. It's been Left Eye Lopez. She's been.
Shit. Yeah.
She's been shitting.
Shit, yeah, shitting on your hands before you go to bed.
Cool.
So last week we didn't pod for some reason.
Yeah,
we had something. It was a dog boob special.
It was a dog boob special.
Were you on a PJ? The private jet.
I was on a private jet. Yeah. I had a wedding to go to, and I kind of put it off in my mind for a while. And by the time I was like, oh shit, that's tomorrow. It was kind of late in the week, so
that's true.
I take responsibility.
Oh, you mean like the wedding?
Yeah, I was like,
oh yeah, I do that.
I kind of was like in denial about having to go anywhere, and then finally, I'm like, oh whoa, yeah.
Looks like I got another 36-hour weekend of Sims to. Oh shit!
I got some place to be. You guys, I really am aching for some Sims.
You got a whole fucking holiday coming your way.
I know, but here's the thing: I don't have a MacBook anymore, and that's where I downloaded all my Sims.
So you need to. So this is what you need to do. You need to download Tor.
Tor.
You need to get on the deep web or the dark web.
Okay.
And you need to download some expansion packs.
Oh, hell yeah.
On the dark web.
Done. On the dark web specifically. Yeah. Okay. Even though I've paid for them.
Yes. Go to the Silk Road.
Okay. Yeah.
First, you got to buy Bitcoin.
Okay.
And then, or you could just go to Sims.com.
You have to harvest the Bitcoin.
And then you have to go to the dark web.
Shit.
There's a guy named Left Eye. You don't want to send him a private email.
Meet him and turn right.
Ask him for the expansion packs from The Sims.
That's right. It's George Lopez's sister, Left Eye.
They'll come in an unmarked box.
Goddamn. All right. Thanks for the tips.
Yep. So today we're going to talk about moral dilemmas. So I found this one. This is a very specific. So I found. Had we talked about wanting to do this before?
I think we've done it.
I don't think we've done it.
Or it sounds very familiar.
Yeah,
I think we had discussed it.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about it because it's just, man, is it a conversation starter?
It is a very conversation starter.
This is something you could use if any of our listeners are going to a wedding this weekend.
Yep.
Or hey, Thanksgiving's a good example.
Right.
Let's all be thankful.
You're coming in,
everyone's sitting around, nobody's got anything to say, and you go, hey, here's a moral dilemma. Boom, you throw it down, and you really get to see who people are based on their reactions. Yep. Kill them. Kill the homeless.
Aunt Jane. I have an actual Aunt Jane, and she would
moral dilemma.
Never
kill
say
the
it.
Homeless.
Never say it.
Now I'm insecure. Did we do a moral dilemma?
I think we may have in the past, only because I remember misspelling dilemma so many times
Nobody can spell the right one.
It's so
impossible.
Hard.
I'm looking through all of them, and I don't see any. But if we did, it's at least not in the recent last 80.
This is perfect for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right.
To your point.
Well, we did unpopular opinions. Oh, we did do moral dilemmas. Fuck. Fuck.
It's a great one, and I want to revisit it.
I guess.
That's a good.
Jesus Christ.
This might be a good time to bring up. We're looking for a producer. If anybody's and has a little free time, loves a pod, wants to help us put together a couple episodes.
Right. Well, we did. So
shout us a tweet.
I'd like the idea of revisiting this one, though.
This is a revisitable.
And the reason this came up is because it popped up on my feed again. And I was looking at it, and I was just like, whoa, dude.
God.
And it was the one that had come up was about child porn.
Oh, no.
But because it's in moral dilemmas, it was like an interesting question. The way it was proposed that just made me go, whoa. And so we'll get to that.
It was a little noodle scramble.
I know. It was a little noodle scramble. Okay, cool. So we'll get into the moral dilemmas part two, evidently. But but before we do that, let's talk about the front page.
Guys, everyone's talking about Small Yoda.
Small Yoda is out of control.
What's the genesis of Small Yoda?
I got the
Disney Plus, Mandalorian, Small Yoda.
That's is that how it happened? Disney Plus?
I think so.
You
right?
Got it.
Disney
Plus launched last week on November 12th. I got it. I got kids. Goddamn, for $6 a month, you get it all.
Wow. Worth it.
Is it only $6 a month?
Yeah.
For Netflix the first month, it's going to go up.
Eventually. Netflix is $13 a month.
Good Lord. Just to put yourself in perspective. The garbage that's on Netflix.
Hold your tongue. What about the Chef's Cookout series?
I don't know, man. I'm not.
No, I agree. I don't watch Netflix as much as I used to.
Right? And for half that, you get every single
all like, the Marvel, all the Disney old classic movies, all the Pixar,
all the Star Wars,
and then all the Nat Geo reality series, Life Below Zero, Origins, Stargazers.
Is this a good time to mention that this episode is brought to you by
Disney?
Yeah, by the Walt Disney Corporation. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like the newest fat streamer, so people are excited and talking about it.
Yeah.
And this is a meme out of that.
Right.
Really. So yeah, The Mandalorian is the show where one of the characters featured is Small Yoda.
Nice.
And so Baby Yoda has just the memes have just gone bananas.
God.
So this is cute. From Know Your Meme. Baby Yoda, also known as Yiddle.
What? No, it's not. Is that true?
Is an unnamed character introduced in the Disney Plus television series The Mandalorian that resembles an infant version of the Star Wars character Yoda. So
resembles. So it's not confirmed it's him?
It's freaking him, dude. I sent you guys the Know Your Meme links if you want to like scroll through. So let's see what else it says here. So following the release of the episode, people online discussed their appreciation for the character. So then it just, you know, it becomes an internet thing overnight. And one of the great memes is, so it's essentially people are doing things like how a kid sees the world. And so this one I just sent you guys is a great meme of Small Yoda. And then the caption says, me wondering why my mom is eating sugar with her nose.
Oh, I've seen this one. This is a popular one, yeah.
So that's kind of like a popular one going on.
Small
right
Yoda.
Small, S-M-O-L is
Small
kind of...
Small Yoda.
What a funny little guy.
God, he's cute.
He's adorable as hell, yeah.
He's goddamn cute. He looks like a gremlin, right?
Really? Well, that's kind of that's what Yoda looks like. Yoda looks like a gremlin.
Or is
a gremlin.
With much cuter eyeballs, because like if you look at Yoda's eyes, he's got like... It was just a bad choice by the puppet designer.
He's old.
His eyes are like googly eyes, and they're very intense.
Technology was very different back then.
Yeah.
It now is apparent that the gremlin people ripped off Yoda.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the order of of gremlin origin story.
It came out after Star Wars, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Good, I don't know, though.
Good one, Gremlins.
I mean, it's a pretty adorable-looking thing. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, more than one person thought that shape of head was cute, you know? Maybe they're unrelated. Maybe.
I don't know how you try to birth one of those with that shaped head. Let's be real.
I know. The ear flaps have to be, like, slicked back in afterbirth.
Well, you guys are acting like the vaginal tube.
Yeah. You're right.
The vaginal canal is of human variety.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Like, who's to say
how
aliens procreate? They might lay eggs.
Yeah. I think it's probably more likely.
Yeah.
Yoda could be an egg.
Yeah, he could be a fucking egg.
Yoda could be an egg.
Fight me. Figure it out.
Yoda could be an egg.
Yoda scramble.
What a funny sentence.
Wow.
Here's another one that I've seen this week that is, so yes, that Baby Yoda has been taking the world by storm. This is less of a meme and more of just a thing that has been popping up. I think we're seeing a lot of late-stage capitalism lately. I think as our world continues to spiral into an abyss of capitalistic over fucking zealous billionaires.
Hot Garbaggio, if you ask me.
Whoa, that sounds
hot
like
Garbaggio.
That sounds like a new cologne.
Right.
Sounds like a good Italian dish.
Yeah.
I'll take a side of the hot Garbaggio.
So evidently
extra barm.
So a lot of people are turning on Jeff Bezos. Which is interesting.
It is great.
It's a good thing. Because he's the wealthiest man in the world now and is also one of the least charitable. So it came out this week he gave like just shy of $99 million to some charity. And everybody kind of looked at it and was just like, wait a second, let's do the math here. And it ended up being the equivalent of you giving $40, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so everybody's freaking out about Jeff Bezos. And I also saw that they're also going to – there's a lot of memes. Like I saw the one that I specifically had pinpointed from Late Stage Capitalism, which was submitted 3 days ago, 19,000 upvotes. Amazon delivery instructions. I don't need this phone case same day. Please let your employees use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I've also noticed that I accidentally stumbled upon a video. I think I featured it at the beginning of our last episode. That was an anti-unionizing instructional video for employees or like managers of Amazon.
So like ways that you can like prevent any unionization.
Yeah.
Union busting.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And I say fuck him. I think he's I don't know why we have billionaires. I'm like the older I get, the more I subscribe to that opinion of just like, why did they exist?
No, it's like, so
it doesn't
fucking
make any
gross.
Fucking sense. Yeah.
I saw a tweet this week that was like, we should allow one billionaire, and like that billionaire gets decided by a battle royale type TV competition.
Ooh,
where
I like
all
that.
Of the 620 something billionaires in the world have to fight to the death until we get the one billionaire.
So,
and then what does that billionaire get?
It's a physical fight?
Then he gets to stay a billionaire.
In space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until we shoot him out to space. Yeah. But he won. So.
But he won and he gets to keep his $1 billion.
Yeah, he keeps
it. We shoot him into space with a bag of his $1 billion.
You're describing chimpanzee law, which I am not opposed to going back to.
Chimpanzee law.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I look around and I'm like, you know what? It's time to bring back chimpanzee law because this place is getting out of control.
I think speaking Chimpa. Of law.
Today on USA Network.
Oh, Nat Geo.
Nat Geo.
Today on Nat Geo. Disney Plus, our sponsor for
today. Chimp law.
Those are the scariest things out there, I'd say.
So another one. So I think we had talked about, my memory is shoddy at best. But I believe we talked about Bernie Sanders taking over Reddit. You know, he just is like the Reddit's, it's like Reddit's president, pretty much.
I think we touched on
it because
Redditors.
Our
like...
president is one of his subs, and there's also Sanders for president. And there's the top post of this past week, actually, in general, across all of Reddit, was from There Was an Attempt, and it is to criticize Bernie Sanders. And it was somebody had posted, so Bernie Sanders' birthday evidently was a couple days ago or whatever. Or maybe it was in September, actually.
Happy B-Day.
Is he 85?
Yeah,
he's getting
prince.
Close. But Bernie Sanders should be forced to give away 90% of his birthday cake. Happy birthday, Bernie. Making a joke about his taxation. And then the
all you need is one piece.
that's the response below is, this is how birthday cakes work. If you have friends. Yeah.
Who
that's
has more?
So perfect because
which kind of sums up all of the attitude of the people on the other side as well.
Yeah, it does. I am a libtard. I am, but you could easily have been like, Bernie Sanders should have to give away 90% of his Pop Tart. You're getting the same point across without opening yourself up to that.
Right. Well, you know? I don't think anybody's getting I don't think anybody's getting Pop Tarts for.
Or
their
it
birthday,
should have been like a dinner. Like I'm at a restaurant. I order like the steak con frites. So it's like, you got to give that away. And you'd be like, I want the steak. I don't know, man. Nobody needs that much money, like giving it to people.
Nobody needs
sense.
That much money.
But then like the redistribution of it all doesn't seem to work well either. So
it's
like,
very complicated.
So then everyone's like, well, I don't want you guys to handle it. And so like, you know, we need like that supercomputer, you know, the perfect.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure redistribution is the move because that negates a lot of what has come up till now. I think what it is at this point is we need to create systems and laws that prevent the billionaire class from existing, right? And we need to somehow mitigate globalization so that we also do not lose all of the billionaires to other countries.
Yeah.
You think you're talking about a little country called China.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, you know how we feel
about
China on this podcast.
Nailed it.
So,
oh, God, you guys, this week the top, like it was on one of the... One day last week, it was a Morbid Reality top.
Ooh,
shit!
I didn't know that was still around. Morbid Reality.
Oh, I feel fucking like, love because
you're a Morbid.
Reality.
You're a Morbid Reality stan.
I am a stan for Morbid Reality, and it showed a video of a train in China taking a bunch of political prisoners.
This. You can hear him yelling and shit.
You can hear him screaming, and all the windows are blacked out on the train. And it's terrifying. They're basically probably transporting them to prison camps.
Right.
And
they were students too.
Yeah, they were like university students.
Which is so fucking grim, man. Like you're taking your most or arguably or by some metrics your most promising, most intelligent people of a generation
and
away.
There's so much coming out now about how there's sexually assaulting students. Like, the police are horrible there. Like, it's just so sad and so scary. And like,
that's chimp law, man.
Yeah, that is fucking chimp law. But I don't know if I want to bring it back then. Because now I'm seeing it in practice.
It's scary.
And it's fucking really free for all.
Hey, what do you guys think about the other new big news of the week? Tesla's new truck.
Chonky truck.
The cyber truck.
God,
I mean, I'll
thing.
Tell you what. Elon Musk knows how to meme.
He's
great. He fucking knows how to meme.
Yeah.
Like, he just knows when it's going to happen. And it just is propagated. I've loved all
this. Conversation starter at you. Was the window breaking planned?
I don't
for hype.
So explain that, because I don't actually know the reference.
Oh, so when they release the truck,
right?
They bring a guy out with a sledgehammer and he starts hitting the doors of the truck because they're made of steel, and the guy's like undentable, and the guy like smacks him and it like just bounces. You're like, that's cool. I can use that.
Steel?
Steel?
Is that what
it's
makes
like some
it
kind
undentable?
Of like space steel that they use on spacecrafts? Who the fuck knows?
God.
Lightweight, super strong. You know when your car gets dinged in the parking lot?
Yeah, of course.
Trader Joe's.
Right.
It won't do that, right?
Nice.
And so you're like, cool. And then they're like, and the glass is bulletproof. And you're like, all right. This guy comes out with like a, you know, baseball sized steel ball.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he chucks it against the driver's side window. And we're all going like, this is just going to bounce off.
Right.
And then it just shatters.
Really?
And everyone's like, oh, fuck. And then Elon's like, oh, shit, let's try it again. And then they try like another one and it breaks again.
Oh,
and
God.
So they either fucked it up, didn't have it right, whatever.
That sucks.
Or it was a planned event. So everyone's saying like it was a botched release.
Right.
Because it was like this big pub PR release. But I'm going like, that's the thing everyone talked about too. So.
Yeah. Right. It's and pretty funny.
I don't know, like, who the hell...
I feel like that's kind of on brand for him, too, to do that.
Yeah, like a little bit of a goof.
You don't make a goddamn bulletproof window. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Somebody must have just put in some fucking stock windows.
Yeah.
Right. And so you kind of know, like, it will be fixed by the time I buy one.
That is hilarious. Why would
you
do that?
No, by the time that the government has given them to us for billionaire reparations...
That's right. Billionaire reps.
Yeah, billionaire reparations. What else we got?
Do you like the design? Let me get your take on this, guys. Everyone's talking
the design
about
of the truck.
The Cybertruck.
It's fucking awful.
Well, I mean, this is a strange thing about this kind of technology. Because, you know,
we're a car
and Disney Plus pod exclusively. I think this is... you know, it doesn't look much like a car. It looks like a space-age device, which I think is we wanted until we got it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is the way we wanted crazy future cars to look.
Yeah.
We're just like, I don't, but I wanted a car.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's a strange, we've reacted weirdly to it, in my opinion.
It's so gross.
It's really wacky looking, but it's wacky looking in the way that you kind of want.
Yeah,
some
like
future wild ass device to look.
When I look at that, like, it reminds me of how I feel when I see a new clothing or fashion trend that I don't like, but I know I'm gonna want to get on board with in about 9 months.
Right,
you know,
totally.
Like, it takes me a while to like, but you always know, because I feel like any trend I eventually want to try to get into is something I initially hated. You know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like something that you're like, oh, that looks like shit, and
like
then
selfies.
9 months later, you're like, fuck. I kind of want that now.
I would never selfie and then look at you right around the corner.
Look at me. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of funny. It reminds me a lot of like all the Nintendo 64 days. That's a lot of the memes that you're seeing, like Lara Croft with the super polygon boobs, you know?
Oh, yeah,
of course.
I'm excited for that thing. I think it's going to be cool.
So there's an interesting Ask Reddit that was making some rounds this week too, given we had talked about OK Boomer last week. This might be worth addressing. So if OK Boomer was a digital assistant like OK Google, what sorts of answers would you give to certain questions, or would it give you to certain questions?
Ooh.
So top one right now, posted one day ago. OK Boomer, directions to 5th and Montgomery. We don't need a map. I know where it is. Wait a minute.
Boomer.
That's funny.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. So what else? Okay, Boomer, where's the nearest recycling center? We have trash cans. Fucking boomers, dude.
Goddamn boomers.
Okay, boomer. Engineering jobs listed in my area. Job listings? You're just playing around on the internet. Figure out where you want to go and go down there. Ask to speak with the manager. Shake his hand. Look him in the eye and ask for a job.
Oh, man. I love that. That's so much. Funny. Oh, my God. Okay, boomer, call my husband. Only if you tell me when I'm going to get grandkids. It's about time.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, boomer, what's the most effective birth control pill? The most effective birth control pill is an aspirin between your knees.
Oh, God damn it, boomer.
Aspirin between your knees.
keep your legs closed, ladies. Yeah, all our six ladies that listen to this podcast.
We love it.
Okay, boomer, what's on TV right now? We only watch the news and Wheel of Fortune in this house. Jesus Christ.
Good God.
Okay, boomer, open YouTube. Hal, can you show me? Oh, man. I hate them. I hate them all.
Okay, boomer, which radio station should I listen to? Doesn't matter. Music nowadays is trash.
Oh, God. It's not even a boomer thing. It's a people that don't listen to fucking music thing.
It's a dog boobs in my freedom.
Yeah, exactly. What else do we got on the front page before we get into moral dilemmas?
Well, one of the top dank memes of the week is a picture of side by side what teenagers think depression looks like with a picture of Billie Eilish.
Oh, man. Well,
and then what real depression looks like. And it's an article of a beluga whale that ate a seagull. And it's like, bird doesn't care about being eaten. And the bird just floats there while the whale, like, slowly eats it. It's like that. Top comment is that seagull is a mood.
That's pretty much sums it up.
Yep.
What other we got? I mean, we got
there were some good joke after Mini Yoda came out.
Right.
People started making Mini John Wick and Mini Joker, and then having them doing things together, which I thought was pretty cool.
God.
All three friends. I kind of think those memes are going to stick around. That's a prediction.
Okay, go back here with this meme. Tell me more about it.
Mini Yoda has now become this thing.
Right.
Everyone loves. So then people are creating
a mini John Wick
and then a mini Joker. Like, they're just making them look like.
Well, I think Mini John Wick was around for a while for some reason.
Yeah, it was like Keanu, and then there would be like the mini version of Keanu next to it, and it would be like me and my dad like watching my mom order at Chili's or something.
Right.
Got it. So does that explain that?
I wish.
I mean, it's a really funny
I like the
mechanic,
mini Joker.
I guess, of the Joker. Like. The baby Yoda is actually a baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But the baby Joker and baby John Wick are just shrunken
like Photoshop versions of.
But they just take out the torso. They don't even shrink it.
Yeah. It's just like a man with no torso.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a really funny format.
Me and my dad accidentally running into my friend and his dad. It's normal Joker next to baby Joker and normal Keanu next to baby Keanu.
It's such a funny format.
I love how stupid and absurd all these memes are becoming.
Yeah, like, we're in a really good. I mean, we've always been in a good era for memes as a while, but like I feel like we're at a really nice place right now where nothing's too edgy.
Yeah,
and the things that are too edgy are like not kind of in vogue right now. The things that are in vogue are like dumb, silly. Yeah.
Really stuff stupid. We would all laugh at when we were like 12, 13.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I love that like whole mood right now.
Because I feel like there every once in a while there will be a meme format that comes that's very like it just for some reason just scratches the backs of edgelords.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why. It's just but this one is kind of not really the point.
Yeah, it's true. That's so funny. Oh my God.
So what is the this is a question for the group. So what predicates why and when a meme format becomes the kind of, or not even the meme format, but the communication of the meme becomes such a dominant kind of device for conversation? Like in this capacity, it's your father and progeny, right? Or mother and progeny. And that's kind of the dominant thing. So a lot of the conversation, and maybe it is because like the Baby Yoda came first and then people go, well, this is a good format for being like a kid again.
Right.
So then you start having this like, this is what it was like when I was a kid, or these are these kind of isolated experiences of being a kid with a parent. But I wonder which one comes first. If it's like, if we're talking about like a slight generational shift and we're kind of at this precipice of moving into a different generation where like the meme generation are graduating high school and going into college or maybe graduating college. So they're reminiscing when they were kids, which is why this format makes sense. Or it started with the Baby Yoda and now is, and that's the communication device that's being conveyed. Am I saying this right?
You know what I'm saying? Get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really get what you mean.
Okay, so what order, so at any time when a meme becomes popular in the communication that's being sent through that meme, so like the distracted boyfriend was all about, in a lot of ways, it was about like a technological shift or like things that were better versions of another thing. So one could say that it maybe coincided with times in our cultural landscape that were about that thing
that
happening.
General theme.
Yeah, that like theme of evolving past an old version of something.
Like, what is that for?
Well, now
Baby Yoda?
Now we're seeing the Baby Yoda one is all about referential to your parents' perception of the world versus your perception of the world.
Yeah,
or like your relationship to your parents.
That's interesting.
So I wonder if it starts with the meme.
Yeah,
or if it starts with the communication device.
Yeah.
And then uses the meme or backs into the
right
meme.
Like, is there something going on in culture right now that like people are feeling nostalgic about
exactly
like when they were little kids or something?
Yeah, I wonder if it has anything to do with, I wonder if it is a generational thing. I wonder if it's the fact that we're approaching 2020.
Yeah,
I think the internet's now been around kind of in its current form for probably 15 years.
Right. We're at the end of the golden age.
I mean, the internet's basically over. Like, everything's been bought. Did you guys see, by the way, speaking of the internet being over, that a private equity firm bought .org?
And, oh, I did see that, yeah.
And
what?
It's like, dude, it's actually very fucking dystopian. So a private equity company bought .org. It's like a private equity company, from what I was reading, that's like funded by Republican, kind of historically Republican families.
What does that mean?
They bought all the .org subdomains.
Smart.
It's very, it's one of those things where it's another kind of, it's another nail in the coffin of the internet in a lot of ways, where it's been so corporatized and it's become such like a fucking ad mechanic.
Yeah.
That a lot of the, a lot of the things that were great about the internet are kind of starting to fall apart.
Wow. What the fuck, you guys? Yeah.
So anyway, so I wonder if now this generation of kids that were kind of raised on memes, they are now getting older to the point where they can reminisce on their relationship with their parents a little bit. So you see a meme like this pop up and it really resonates with so many people because of that, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
It's an interesting question.
Because then part of it too, I think on the other hand, a lot of people, like memes are such like currency now that I think when a new like cultural phenomenon, like The Mandalorian, like that's a pretty big thing we're
most Disney
of society,
Plus. Yeah.
Our society is like in tune with and watching. And then you see something that you know is freaking adorable and make a meme from that. I wonder. It's got to be
Reddit's,
not that simple.
Yeah, I don't know. Reddit's also full of like a lot of young adults that are entering adulthood.
Right.
And there's this sort of like loss of innocence going on where there's a realization that I'm not a kid anymore. I'm becoming an adult. So it's kind of like they're in the straddle period. I wonder if this is like almost like a release of like an admission of I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm dealing with it through comedy and a joke about
maybe. Yeah.
There goes my childhood.
I mean,
and that's why I'm like, well, you do see a lot of people very passionate about protecting their childhood.
Of course. And memes have always been a profound way to explain nuance. I mean, even it sounds silly, but like the beluga whale one, like the seagull's mood is kind of a fun, you know, because people self-deprecating depressive humor is like a popular theme in memes, of course. So I wonder the universality of kind of the meme language that's being used in this like small Yoda, right?
Yeah.
Like I fear a time in the future where I can see a meme and I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's always going to be memes that you just like are like, I don't understand. But I'm talking the ones that are like truly viral memes that everybody
and you don't
understand.
Get. Yeah, there's a lot of inside baseball ones that you'll never
get. Ones about like Fortnite and shit. I'm just kind of like, it's not my world, you know?
Shout out Fortnite. We're going to do a Fortnite pod soon.
We are going to do a Fortnite pod because it needs to be our world.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
We need to learn. So Dog Boobs is going to practice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting question. I know this is, we talk about memes a lot on this pod, but not really, this isn't really, it's easy to make a podcast or a thing about the internet seem like it's exclusively about memes, because that's just the kind of, in these kind of conversations, that's the primary mechanism for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what this podcast is about. But it just happened, if we're going to be talking about Reddit, in the same way that we would talk about politics sometimes, sometimes you just have to talk about memes and why they're moving the way they are. It's and like I would like to know why.
I love it. It's like such a cool way that we all can like mass relate to each other, you know?
Well, that's the interesting question. I'm always perplexed at how mass it is, right? And that's the interesting, like the small Yoda or the tiny Keanu thing. It's because it's talking about a relationship with your parent.
Yeah.
It is universal, right? Because you could technically also apply that to any race, any gender, any religion, in any language. I mean, I've been kind of finding a lot more. I've been seeing a lot more memes of in foreign languages lately. Like I'm seeing Spanish a lot, and I was seeing Arabic for a long time.
Oh, weird.
I don't know why. I was just getting served up Arabic memes on Instagram memes specifically.
They're a great telltale of what's going on. Or a small piece of data of what's going on in the internet as a whole.
Right.
And so I think you can probably track them each collectively by popularity to sort of like extract some kind of, you know, meaning from like what's going on right now in the internet. And if you looked at them all like collectively side by side, you could probably see trends about what each one means for the time that we're in now.
And I mean, that's what's interesting about the small Yoda one.
Because they're
Disney
not
Plus.
Marketing or, I mean, people try to use marketing in memes doesn't work probably, but the ones that do work are not marketing typically probably. So like you've seen, you could probably line them all up over the course of 20 years and like track the top memes and then extrapolate like what was going on then and why
exactly
over time. Like you could probably do a historical.
I think that's, that's essentially what my question is like when you think about something as classic as Distracted Boyfriend and the way that the communication that was being done through that specific, because that one was from
that's a tale as old as time, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, that one, because that one was all about, you know, moving on from something old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in a wildly fast moving technological era, right? Where
life moves fast.
Life moves fast, but you know, the nuance of the meme communication is just interesting. And we sound like fucking dorks talking about memes this way. But this is, I mean, this
well,
is
that's
a frustrating...
where they pay us the bink bucks down at the RANCorp.
Yep, RANCorp.
Funded by
that's the bin bucks.
The bin
over
bucks.
Bucks.
Bing ling a ling.
But you know, I mean, there's not really another word for it other than meme.
Yeah.
Right? But and that is in, you know, we. It is. It's okay.
The only
to
other
talk
word,
about this way.
Word would be like a hieroglyphic. I can't say
hieroglyphic.
What's the word I'm trying to
hieroglyphic?
Say? Hieroglyphic. Hieroglyphic. I think
we're all
like,
high as hell right now.
Woo! Corporate America can go stick it up your butt. I still can't.
Hieroglyphic.
There you go. I have trouble saying that word.
I know you want to say hydroglyphic.
I want to say
hydroglyphic.
I know you're trying to say hydroglyphin, but
hydro Blake Griffin.
Hydro Blake
girlfriend. Yeah, but or even like an I don't know, like Asian symbols or something. Like it's one image that can say a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not saying
this is a digital hieroglyphic. Yes,
kind of.
It is.
It's a digital way of communicating a complex idea in one image.
Yeah,
right?
That can
versus letters, which spell out a word.
Yeah.
Well, but this, I mean, memes also include words, which I think is actually adds to their the complexity of their meaning.
Yeah. So I think in that sense, like it's like not a new thing, but it's
communication.
Yeah, it's like you're communicating a complex idea or emotion or series of ideas in one image.
Yeah,
and that's that idea seems like it's been around. I mean, it's like it's like art, right?
I also think that is the reason why they are such a profound part of our world.
Yeah,
because
they make sense. Yeah.
Well, they make sense, but also there are many parts of our society that we are struggling to adapt to what should be the future of that iteration or the iterative version of that thing. So it's like energy politics, we really struggle as a society to move on from kind of certain things that we've fixated on. Language is another one that like you would think that we really struggle to move on from. And granted, there's not as much toxicity with the current way that we communicate things, though one would argue that it is getting increasingly toxic with our inability to understand facts and whatever.
Right.
So I think that it's interesting that we have created memes, and memes have become such a big part of society and are kind of like a universal pop culture concept at this point, despite them actually truly being an iteration of language, like an evolving iteration of language. Like I don't think if we were doing this consciously, we would have been able to come up with this. I think it had to happen naturally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it feels like the evolution of the way that we should be communicating as a species is through, now we're doing it more through the confluence of symbols, language, and images that all relate to certain kind of specific cultural moments.
There's, you know how you guys seem like a couple of Stargate fans.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. Yeah,
sure. Obviously.
One of the greats. Okay. But any kind of time traveling Egyptian style archaeological storyline where like they're trying to figure out what it says, right? On the stone tablets.
Right.
Like we're going to have a version of that in 2000 years where people are going back going like, "Wait, what's this guy looking at the girl for, and what does it mean?" Like, there's going to be an archaeologist that's going to try to explain it.
I think that's essentially
and it's
what
almost be impossible.
What I'm trying to do in my head right now.
The context isn't there for the explanation, and to try to put all those pieces of context back together in the future to try to explain something that happened in the past, which will never happen again. You know, it's like it's really, really hard, and that's almost what you know Kurt Russell was trying to do in Stargate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, in a way. So that's what we're trying to do now. But I also don't know if we have that's the big question is like, I don't know if we have the facts now to understand why those things come when they do. And that's the, like, it's easy to point at small Yoda and be like, oh, this is clearly happening in the, as this thing called Disney Plus was entering the mainstream. That is like the indicator of how that happened. But like the distracted boyfriend, like, I don't know the genesis story of that actual image.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if it makes a lot of sense because I think it's from a stock image site.
That's the thing.
So it doesn't really, it's not very intuitive as to why, I mean,
why it caught on, Yahoo.
Yeah, like, I mean, because I think, you know, one could also look at that image and be like, is there something happening in the world where, because I, you know, you think about certain cultural trends like Yas Queen, kind of women empowerment thought, energy, you know what I mean? That there was like maybe a hypersexualized time on the internet where it was a lot of like Instagram babes and stuff.
So that's like,
so maybe that also coincided with it where it was a little bit of like I think one could say when you look at that meme that you could either say ex-girlfriend, new girlfriend, or you could say maybe like reality versus virtual reality. Right, because you have like, well, I don't mean literally virtual reality. You have like normal. This is what your girlfriend looks like in real life, and then you have like Instagram models who are like make themselves look nice, even though they're not. And that was kind of like the culture of that time a little bit, you know. So, and I don't. This is obviously speculation, but it seems like those are the kinds of cultural trends where you look at it and you go, maybe that was why that caught on like hotcakes, and why that. People collectively understood the language that was being communicated with that thing in the same way. Again, like we're looking at like the John Wick thing where people go like, you just took out his torso and made him little. Like, why is that funny? And then people go like, it's hard to explain the pop culture phenomenon of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
That made that that way.
But without it, the pop culture phenomenon of Keanu Reeves wouldn't be complete. Like you need it. as part totally. Of it. You need like a slice of the story.
Yeah, and it's
everyone
it's
loves Keanu Reeves relationship. Being the greatest on the internet. But you know what would be better? A mini Keanu Reeves. Like,
that'd be special. Nice.
But also the lore of Keanu Reeves on the internet is kind
trying
of
trying to
is,
explain that. Yeah,
is also predicated on that meme. Like that's the thing is like meme wouldn't have happened if he wasn't a celebrity on the internet. But then he wouldn't be a celebrity on the internet if that meme wasn't around as well. You know?
Right?
Like a it small, just is constantly marketing himself.
Yeah, you can't just make everybody small and it won't catch on.
Yeah, of course.
You can't just make everybody small. Yeah. You know, like it's not the only.
There are rules to the internet.
There are rules.
Simple.
We have gone over the rules of the internet. That continues to be, for whatever reason, our most popular episode. It's the one we did on Rule 34.
That's amazing.
We should go back and do it again because...
For clickbait.
For clickbait. hey, listeners out there, you like talking about creepy internet stuff?
I mean, we are repeating moral dilemmas today, so...
Traffic,
I guess this
report.
Is interesting. This is kind of... I mean, this isn't really moving into... Like, the topic... the conversation we're having right now isn't necessarily related to... moral dilemmas, but I guess what it is, though, is it's kind of this complicated thinking about simple phrases and simple ideas that I find compelling about moral dilemmas, right?
Yeah. I think we've always said about this pod, like, in the douchiest way possible, we're a couple of internet cultural... archaeologists.
We're Rand.
I mean?
We're Rand Corporation employees. I think
we're
is what you're
bit,
trying
we're
to say.
We're Harrison Ford meets Russell Brand or Kurt Russell. And what we're trying to do is figure out how it all works and what the story was.
So the thing
I
that
want to hear a really that's, quick aside.
Yeah.
About
yes, I would love to hear
Russell
a quick aside.
Brand.
Yeah, we're also like you're sitting over there doing something on your phone, and I'm not entirely sure. So
no,
invite you into this conversation.
Bryson, who we all love and adore,
Uncle B.
Uncle B. 1 year, like 5 years ago, during WrestleMania, invited all of us over to watch WrestleMania, and then during like commercial break, he came up with games to play, and
amazing.
One of them was called WrestleMania.
Oh,
whoa!
And he made this like box, and on every face of the box. Was a different Russell, like Carrie Russell,
nice.
Russell Brand, Jack Russell Terrier.
Nice.
Yeah, cool. And then he would read trivia questions, and you'd have to go, that's about Kurt Russell.
Amazing.
That's great.
And that's
yeah,
the
Russell
end of my
Simmons,
story.
Kurt Russell.
He's a genius boy.
He's an actual genius.
Yeah, he's an actual genius.
He's good. I loved having him on the pod, but I also didn't because he was too good.
He was too good. It's like, get
spoke
the fuck
too
out.
Bad. He knew how he knew how to reference his memories very quickly in a clear way.
Yes, he's
meanwhile,
good communicator.
You know what I was thinking about?
We literally forget what episodes we did.
Yeah, we just repeat episodes.
Bryson should be our producer.
Jesus Christ, he should absolutely be.
He's too good for us.
He's got too many other cool things on this.
I often think about his podcast that he was doing that was literally a fake sport and fake teams.
Remember?
And it was just commentating about
my God.
Real
it was like a full on like hour long totally like made up what's the word I'm like blanking on
improv
improv
cast.
Yeah. He just like improvised an hour's worth of like fake sports casting.
Amazing.
Such a funny
fantastic.
Idea.
It was so idea. Funny.
I really want him to keep doing it. Did he stop doing that?
He obviously did it one time, but I want. Was that during the Super Bowl? Because he should do that during the Super Bowl again.
I mean, I think he should do a season of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it, he should.
You know,
well, we'll get Uncle B back on. I know the fans are asking for it.
Chomping at the bit.
I was laughing about your fig story, Dog Boobs.
Oh, yeah.
When you slipped on the fig.
I haven't forgotten.
Famous episode from about 7 episodes ago.
I don't remember that one.
I slipped and fell on some rotten figs that had fallen off a fig tree in front of my apartment.
You gotta be careful, Dog Boobs.
I know.
You gotta protect you. You are a golden lamb.
I think we started with like, hey, how's it all going, Dog Boobs? And you're like, not good. And I was like, what's up? And you're like, I slipped on a fig. And like,
all
it was like,
right?
This, like,
if you must know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was a hard time.
For some reason, I was thinking about this like this morning or yesterday. Now, I thought of it could be a segment of our show called Trials and Figulations.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Dog Boobs.
Yes.
And it's just like a what's going
like,
on.
What's been the frustrating thing you had to overcome this week, Dog Boobs?
And
you know?
It's one of these dumb
trials and figulations.
It's a dumb idea, and I just had to get it out there.
All right. Okay. It's not a dumb idea. It's freaking brilliant.
I think maybe we should end
or begin every episode that way now.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Just like, what's up, dog? Like,
too late to start this episode over entirely.
We like to do starts in the middle.
Yes, I like that. All right, so let's get into moral dilemmas. As it pertains to what we were just talking about, kind of in a way, about technology and the way that we're talking about things. So, you know, I saw this post pop up on Moral Dilemmas, and I looked at it, and I was just like, for some reason, I just like could not shake it. It just really, it really got me. It like hit me in a weird way, and I'm not entirely sure why.
Shake you to the core.
Well, yeah. it's just is one of those things you where I was just, it's shook. Got layers, you know what I mean? So the title of the post, this only has, so Moral Dilemmas, you know, we covered it in episode 60 or something, right? So it has 4,000 readers-ish, 4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So not huge, but a really interesting proposition. And the post was, must we produce fake child porn?
Oh.
And I saw this, I was just like, what? Huh?
Woody?
What the fuck? And then... So the post goes, as it seems, it's now possible to produce fake child porn, which is indistinguishable from real child porn, which technologically we know is possible, right?
With the deep fakes, et cetera.
With deep fakes, with just basic graphic technology. So no real children are depicted. Germany's Ministry of Justice has legalized its small-scale usage by prosecutors to get access to child porn exchange sites. It seems obvious to me that a large-scale flooding of said sites with fake child porn would crash the real child porn economy, therefore reducing, not eliminating, well, certainly not eliminating, production of real child porn. Shouldn't we do that immediately? Oh. And I looked at that and I was just like, whoa.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
It sounds like legalizing drugs or something.
Well,
or
but it's
nipple fishing, another thing I like to
nipple fishing.
We all like to know and talk about.
I mean, it seems... But this is it's such an interesting question. Like as we kind of move into this weird deep fake world and all these other things that are kind of, you know, this like fake news, we don't know what's real, we don't know what's fake. What is the moral, what is the, how do I say this? So it I guess it's a, when nobody is hurt in the actual photos, when it's like computer generated or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that keep the actual victims from being victimized?
Right.
And then at a certain point as well, because I was talking to a friend about this, is like at a certain point, do you think people's eyes will, the fucking creeps that are looking at this stuff, do you think eventually they're going to be able to kind of Marina's Trench. What's the valley,
uncanny valley.
The uncanny valley. Do you think they're going to uncanny valley where they're going to tell what the difference is between the two after seeing the two against each other? And then a flip side of that question as well, is it possible that over the long period of time, right, you can change people's tastes off of it by guiding them through CGI away from it?
So like if we do a Pavlov's dog kind of thing where it's like, digital child porn, and then in a really sexy moment, the kid starts, in a really sexy moment. The kid barfs and starts playing like "Who let your dog out?"
Oh.
Like, who let the
maybe
dog out?
Okay.
And like, and now we're like psychologically rewiring them.
Well, I
like,
kind of,
ew, I don't like sexy porn stuff.
Yeah,
I kind of was.
I see what you mean because I was having this thought. You know how on the side of porn, it's always like for $9.99, you can get this giant penis enlarging pill.
I'm listening.
What if those pills actually just made you nauseous?
That's
so that
what
you,
I'm saying.
You buy the pills,
right?
You pop them. You're ready to jiggling off to
you shit
something.
Your pants.
Yeah, and then you shit your pants in the middle of it.
So you guys,
you
just
want to watch that again?
You just want a roofie, guys?
Just even roofie. Just like
we want to roofie their minds.
Yeah, like
but that's what roofies is. We want to roofie
their.
We don't want to roofie them. We just want to roofie
their minds.
Their minds.
Their fucking minds, dog. Yeah.
Well, so kind of, I guess what I was saying is more like over a long period of time. Because I've had this same hypothesis about language, right?
Yeah.
Where I thought that it would be really interesting. I've had this idea for a long time to create a Bible versus app.
Ooh. I like.
That is in.
I already am on board.
I'm sold. All right. So don't even tell me the rest of the idea. Yeah. So
let me get my checkbook out.
All it is, or actually it's prayers that are derived from Bible verses, but they are in very, very, very low, poor, like poor reading level language, right?
Ooh.
So they're made for people that are that like maybe are in places that are a little bit disadvantaged, that like haven't had a very good education, that that are really kind of cling to religion and potentially potentially like kind of ignorance and problematic behavior. And then over a long period of time, for people that are subscribed to this app for 6 months, a year, whatever, you're increasing the reading level gradually to then, by product of that, increase the reading level of the people that are consuming
and
the
prayers.
And by
the end, they've learned so much, they don't even need a Bible
anymore. They have a PhD in philosophy by the end of it.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
So, but the idea then is that you can potentially shape someone's, someone's kind of perception of the world, or like kind of the their taste and preferences or whatever through technological shifting. So,
so here's
with this is like, if you flood the market in this specific moral dilemma with fake child porn, right? And then over a long period of time, at this point, there's like little to no real child porn. So now technically it's not a victimless crime, but the kids are the abused that are required to make this stuff are no longer in the equation.
Right.
All CGI. And then over a long period of time, you're maybe like aging these kids subtly.
So that you grow up with your porn. I love that idea.
Or something like that. Yeah. It's an interesting thing that you could potentially manipulate.
Suddenly a pedophile wakes up and he's like getting off to a normal adult sex scene.
He's really like,
MILFs. Like, yeah. Whoa, Bernie what
Sanders.
Just happened?
Yeah. Bernie Sanders.
I mean, that is possible. Well, something that someone pointed out in the comments that's interesting. Is that there is a lot of incest porn.
There is a lot of incest
on the market right now. And it's not, I mean, I don't know if anyone's done any research, but it doesn't appear that that has impacted like
taste
behavior, in real life behavior.
And well, it's, like, but it's fake incest porn. It's not real incest porn. It's not, they're not real brothers and sisters and stepbrothers and sisters.
Yeah, it's not a direct comparison for sure. But it's like,
but it is have a thing here.
But it's like a porn of a behavior, and it's like, will that affect a viewer's real life?
Yes.
Well, but also it's a fake. I mean, this is kind of the interesting point. Is like it's a fake version of that fetish.
Yeah.
That then satisfies that fetish, without actually requiring,
that's the reality.
Yeah,
are you guys trying to tell me moms don't come in their son's showers and jerk them off and then have 69 orders with them?
I'm gonna have to mark this goddamn pod not safe for work, which is so annoying. Yeah.
Is that not real? Are you telling me this is all make believe?
It is make believe, my friend.
Holy caboodles!
Holy caboodles!
Wait, no, but that's kind of what porn is, right? It's like a fantasy, like. 99% of it is actors playing a part.
Right.
Yeah.
Now there's like some version of a like porn, I guess. But but it all is kind of a make believe scenario that the viewer gets to participate in for 3 minutes.
Right.
So
for 90 seconds.
I think like an unintended, way horrible side effect is that it would cause more and more people to be I can't think of words today for some reason.
Well,
but it would be like desensitizing so many more people to child. Like
to
I can imagine.
Child porn.
Like,
I totally know what you mean.
What if that was like a new category?
Well, that would be the fear, right? I mean, that is I think the interesting. This is why this sub is fascinating, right?
Yeah.
And again, like I am not like in this conversation. We're not coming down on like the side of we should do this, but it's like. It's such an interesting thought experiment when you know that technology is at a point where you can try to curb some of these behaviors or whatever with something that technically takes away a victim, right? And this, because to your point, I mean, this is the interesting thing about what you just said, right? Where like most self-aware people know that all porn is at least in some capacity fake or manipulated to seem like a fetish that is not, right? And that in fetishes are real, and we're not fetish shaming, and that's totally fine. But you don't really in this weird, terrible market of child porn, you don't fake. You're not faking a kid, right? It's a kid or it's not a kid, right? So that is kind of the opposite side of it, where it's like, it's that is a world where it's not fake. There are real victims that have that problem.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you would potentially be able to make a fake thing through technology.
I guess the realest example is like, there's teen porn that sort of borders, like the whole point of it is like they're legally 18,
yeah.
But like, you know, the people watching it are in their head going like, this girl's 15. So they do ride the line, and there's probably a huge market for it. And that's also probably a huge problem, like underage girls as prostitutes, et cetera.
Right.
Sex slaves, whatever. And so does it, the question is, and there's probably a ton of data, we'll call our boys up at the Rand, because you know they got data, about how porn affects societal behaviors.
Right.
And I would guess like the pornification of our society in the last like 20 years has caused people to change their sexual habits in the bedroom.
Right.
And the way people hang out at bars and, you know, butthole stuff's like all popular now. That's gotta be because of porn.
Yeah, probably.
Everyone's talking about butts.
I mean, or just sexual liberation. I mean, I think this
just sexual liberation. Yeah. And did the porn cause the butthole stuff, or was everybody into butthole stuff to begin with?
Right.
I don't know. We'll never know.
I mean, there's such a funny fine line about these topics, because there's also the flip side, which is like
all the
Republican congressmen who get busted for
foot tapping,
soliciting just a male, right? Not even like a young male, just a guy, right? But it's so frowned upon and so freaky for them that they like can't even come out as gay. When we as kind of like the left liberal California elite, we're like, it's fine, whatever.
If
be
you're
gay.
Not gay, we don't like you.
Yeah, yeah. Be as gay as you want. I don't care. Yeah.
You're not gay, dude.
Be gayer,
dude. How are you not gay? So here are other couple comments on this specific post that I think are kind of illuminating a little bit of what we're already talking about. But at the bottom, the goal should be harm reduction, which is exactly what we're talking about. And I think that's what the original post is saying, is like, nobody, I think, the moral dilemma is not like, should we increase the likability of child porn?
Yeah.
I think it's, what is the best way to reduce harm in the most efficient manner?
I do think you can parallel this with drug legalization, because like, Big Joe Biden, who thinks weed is a gateway drug.
Insane story, by the way.
Is a crazy person.
He's like, I can't make a decision till we do more research. And every single like scientist who's been studying marijuana for the past 20 years is like, oh my fucking God.
Joe
Biden
is fine.
We have done the fucking research. Just read it.
Just whatever. But I guess you could ask the question, like, is this kind of fake child porn? Like, would it be this sort of gateway drug for people that are not into child porn to get into it?
Yeah.
And then could it cause more damage that way?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This conversation. Or by sort of, like, putting it out there, would you take away the illegal market, which is the real creeps, which are, like, the drug dealers?
Well, this is a little...
You sort of bring it out into the open and, like, air it out. Then you just tag those people.
Totally.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there's
paint their faces. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a
teal.
Clear analog to this. I think that's what also makes it really interesting.
Yeah.
Is there's, I think there are elements that you can draw back to other things, right? So when weed became legal in California, a lot of the Mexican marijuana manufacturers that were doing it illegally got into avocados, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was like that was the byproduct. That was one of the weird byproducts. Is all of a sudden it was no longer a vegetation that was affordable.
Well, they do it here now.
Totally.
Now they grow it in, now the Mexican cartels grow it in California.
Totally.
And then they sell it in states where it's not legal.
Totally.
Illegal.
So they've expanded the illegal market in a different way. So
because they can't, they're not going to get arrested in California anymore.
Right.
And so then they sell it, make it here, and then they sell it in Nevada or whatever
else. Totally.
It's
a different kind of, it's a weird thing. But then, you know.
What are the unintended consequences of legalizing fake child porn?
I mean, the other example that maybe you could draw to is, because I don't know if drug legalization is totally accurate, because this is not legalizing it. This is flooding the market with something that is reducing harm to real victims without changing the taste patterns of the people. But this kind of almost a little bit reminds me of like Narcan and what you were doing with, like, you can go, You can go to, or Suboxone, which one is the one that's like essentially like...
Narcan's the one that brings people back. Suboxone's the one that is legal.
Yeah, so it's like the Suboxone clinics where it's like, you can go, we'll give you free needles as long as you do it safely.
Right.
I think there's a little bit of that analog too, which is like, we're not legalizing the thing. We're just trying to make sure that there's the least harm possible so that people can not be like that anymore.
Yeah.
And... I don't think this one, I think this is not like a, I don't think anybody wants child porn, obviously. I think this is just like, this is in the world where this exists with the technology that we have. I think it's just a really fascinating, it is truly a moral dilemma.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, if there's an opportunity to essentially dilute the market.
Right.
To change the way that people suddenly are like, oh, like, I mean, honestly, almost a little bit, there's a level of hentai too with this where it's like, hentai is such a weird fucking thing, but like, I wonder how much of people's taste in hentai has gotten people away from maybe more destructive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
behaviors.
I love the like, anytime you're having a intellectual conversation, be like, you know, there is a certain level of hentai to this too.
Exactly.
That's, yeah. Note that for Thanksgiving, everybody.
I don't know how. This is funny that we're, this is very on brand for us to be doing this at Thanksgiving.
Can we make a promise to each other right now?
Let's get everybody around the table listening to the new DYR episode.
Yeah. This Thanksgiving, we're all going to slip in hentai
into a conversation.
Yes. And just see how it goes.
Fuck yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
I can do it.
We can all do it. And we're going to do it when we're talking about it next week on the podcast.
Report back.
We're talking about abstinence versus dealing with, let's just call it sex, right? Like, there's two approaches to sex. Don't do it.
Right.
And then everyone is going to do it and just, you know, get abortions in the back alley, and that's not good.
Nope.
Or...
and that's not good.
If you're, we know you're going to do it,
right.
Do it safely, right? It's sort of like two approaches to how to deal with these things. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems like a tough pill to swallow to, like, admit people do this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Can you ever make it go away? And if you can't, is this a better way to deal with it? And
it's
like one of those things. Like,
we're also in this world of, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein shit.
Right? Oh, Jepstein?
I mean, this is kind of, there's so many ripples of this that I think this is why this question just made me go, whoa, what a wild thing to question. Because
we should just call this episode the child porn episode.
There we go. r/child.
Oh my
porn.
God. Not going to go to that. So subject. Many yeah. listens. We're just going to reveal something.
Yeah. We're going to be like, and here are the actual names of the people who listen to this episode.
FBI, go get them.
But no, I think, I don't know. It's a fascinating one. I think let's talk about a couple other moral dilemmas on this page. I don't know if that's like a put a tab in that. We're probably never going to talk about that again, but I do think it's the technology and the technological change. I guess, again, what I find so compelling about this specific question is how many derivative questions are kind of intertwined with it that are not asked but are suggested.
This is, to me, like a good example of what it might be like to be in politics. Like, this comes across your desk and you go, I'm going to really crunch the numbers, and I think this is the best solution for the least amount of harm, et cetera.
Right.
And you're like, I'm for fake child porn is what you come out as, but it's only because...
I'm for fake child
porn. Yeah. And then your opponent's like, this guy is a this child, guy porn
loves
producer.
Child porn.
And you're like, no, I was trying to save kids.
Yeah. I was trying to save kids.
And you're fucked. And so you end up going like...
Totally.
It's a really tricky thing to try to like explain to people. And
the
reality is you need 3 hours to explain it.
Yes, exactly.
In our current media climate.
Woo, haha.
Yeah. Thank you.
You
just don't have the time to get into
right.
it. And then you get sound bitten.
Yeah, of course.
You just got sound bitten.
It's just like on CNN, it's just like, I like child porn.
That's right.
We're the deepfake thing is going to continue to be an issue. We're going to see more and more of it where you're going to be indistinguishable from certain things.
God.
And people are going to have no choice but to say, like, I didn't do that. That's a deepfake.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's a deepfake is going to be next year's that's fake news.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's going to happen where people are just going to be like, that's a deep fake.
Yeah.
Right? And then CNN's going to do, like, breaking news. Like, what's a deep fake? And yep. 60 Minutes coming with you today. And we're going to be like, guys, we talked about this for fucking three years. Right?
We broke this story in 07, dude.
Yeah.
That is nice when, like, local news channels and stuff are on a trend even later than me. You know? Because, like, I'm late, but then, like, 9 months after I get it, that's when, like, KCAL 9 is like, have you guys ever heard of ghosting? And you're like, oh, God damn it.
But yeah, so that one, that we're gonna see that one continue to pop up. And it's off, I mean, evidently it's news through the German, actually German politics. Yeah. So in itself is also very interesting.
Of course it's Germany. Just side note.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
progressives,
I guess. Seem practical with their policies too.
I think
we're not practical.
They're a little bit more adventurous about how they we live in a world where we are struggling to adapt to things that are happening that I think we need to make big decisions to adapt to. Like, capitalism is all fucked up, right? And everybody's going like, well, we should probably tax people a little more. And we're like, no, we should fucking make billionaires illegal. Yeah. There's a cap. Once you get to $999 million, every dollar you make after that goes to fucking charity or goes to public schools. We don't need billionaires. No. They don't need to exist in any country, in any point in the world. But we are not at the point where we can make those decisions with that much gravity. There are certain countries, though, that are getting to that point.
Yeah. Right?
Those are unpopular opinions.
They are unpopular opinions.
I read a statistic this week that all it takes is for 3.5% of a population to be in a revolt for a government to absolutely bend to the demands. Like, there has been no point in history where a government has been able to ignore the demands of the people when 3.5% have been mobilized.
Why is that, I wonder?
I think it's just like the at least historically, the number at which it becomes like impossible to govern without.
Right.
10-minute warning for me, which I think is so interesting, because if you look at a number of people who are like unsatisfied with the government in the United States, it's like 50%. Like, if we were able to mobilize a fraction of those people. Right. It's just hard.
I mean, I think it's hard. We have a lot of. I think
just give away free flat screens. That seems to be the
give
answer.
Away free flat screens.
The only thing that can mobilize people in this country is flat screens on sale.
Yeah. I mean, we have
Black Friday.
We have incentivized.
Woo! How big of a TV should I get this week, guys?
Yes.
How big? 6 feet.
60 feet.
60 feet. Yeah. Yes. Do it.
Didn't Samsung just come out with a TV that's an entire wall?
God's sake.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's called The Wall.
Samsung Wall TV.
That's a great name for Build the Wall.
Yeah.
Build the Wall. Samsung's like, we will.
We will.
In the television.
Yeah. It's
for your CNN.
Buy it for 10 grand. That's going to probably happen. That's one of those things where every once in a while, something will happen in America that I just go, I want to hate it, but I just can't. This is too weird and funny.
Yeah.
And so that's going to happen where there's going to be like a classist like revolt of the fucking proletariat versus the vanguard. And it's going to be triggered by somebody being like, you had the fucking gall to add a 2% tax on fucking big gulps, dude.
Big gulps?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
This is fucking bullshit, dude. And that's going to be what happens. And there's going to be riots in the street and everybody's going to be like, The great big gulp riots of 2020.
It's totally
of
true,
March
though.
2020.
Yeah. Like,
time to hit the reset button.
It's just the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, what's it going to be for us, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I think it's the diabetes that broke the fat man's sack or something like that. It's like some other.
Right.
The diabetes that broke the fat man's gout. Yes. I think is the phrase you're looking for.
I think that's the classic wives' tale.
That's the time-honored phrase I was looking for.
I think so.
That's correct.
Time-honored.
Time-honored. All right, let's get one more moral dilemma before we hit some randoms and we all go to our respective jobs.
Respective
jobs. Go to the salt mines.
Corporate slaves, bro.
Here's one about vaping. So this was posted 12 days ago.
First of all, vaping's really cool.
I love it.
Is it not cool?
It's cool.
I love it.
Oh, weird. This is a funny, interesting thing. So downvoting in the moral dilemma, I think everything is a downvote. That's funny. Interesting.
Oh.
Oh. All right, so my friend is extremely addicted to his vape. About a month ago, he hit it around 200 times over the course of 2 days. Fucking wuss, dude.
Is there a 200? Is there a hit tracker on those things?
I don't know. That'd be cool though. That'd
I think
cool.
there is. Yeah.
It'd be cool if it. Oh man.
Do you get bonus vape juice for?
Yeah, like if. Oh, like if
it turns off if you go to.
Yeah, we're Juul. We're just gonna remove all the laws, and there's an app. And you download the app, and every time you hit your Juul, it triggers a pump.
Right.
And every time you get to like a million points, you get like a free Juul case.
Oh.
And that stuff's public, right? So it's like we can all follow each other and be like, Bill, dude, you're only at like 100,000 hits this week.
Dude, you know Bill is a nationally ranked vapor?
Oh, the vape-a-thons, man. We got this is
he's a nationally ranked.
We should sell this. That's the next e-sport, you guys. Dude, it is.
That's going to be the revolt. People are going to be like, "You took away my fucking vape points, bro? This is bullshit."
Fuck you. Fuck you.
So, you know what? That seems like a good commercial for like one of those anti-smoking commercials or just like one of the Black Glass Mirror episodes.
Black Glass Mirror. Love that show. Okay.
You guys ever tried? Have you smoked the Black Glass, dude?
Yeah, dude. It's so good. All right. So some of the other friends and I approached him about it and offered to help him quit. And he accepted, telling us that he genuinely wanted to get better. Over the past month, we've counted all of his hits and taken his vape when needed be, and have gotten him down to about 10 a day. Now he is telling us that he no longer wants our help. He states that he wants to do it his own way, which is to go back and hitting it 100 times a day. When we try to dissuade him from the idea, he gets aggressive and says that he doesn't care. This puts my friends and I in a tough position. This is where the moral dilemma comes in. Do we listen to his words of an addict and give up? Do we listen to the words of an addict and give up? I don't really understand.
Like give up helping him.
I get that, but like listen. Anyway, so it seems like he genuinely doesn't want to get better. I understand that it's a nature of addiction, but is it my place to force him to get clean? It's just so hard to tell him that if he has genuinely changed his mind about wanting to get clean, or if he just wants to get more hits because he's addicted. Do we keep trying to help him with a mindset that we are doing what's right, even if he doesn't want it? This is a really tough situation, and I'm genuinely torn. If I try to try and be a good friend by helping him, he'll hate me, and I act as a bad friend and don't help, he'll get what he wants. Please help, Reddit.
Oh, buddy.
Please help, Reddit.
Poor baby.
It's so funny because we just read this crazy moral dilemma that's like very complicated.
Yeah.
And it implies all these weird internet nuances. And this one's just like, my friend's addicted to tobacco. What do I do?
What do I do? Yeah. I feel like the only right way for this kid to go is like, you know what? Don't invite him to places where vaping's going to be happening around there. Otherwise, mind your own business. Like, at the end of the day, like, it isn't your place to force him.
All right. Yeah, the top comment is pretty standard. As a young person who vapes and has a lot of friends who vape, trust me, you don't want to convince him to quit unless you won't convince him to quit unless he truly wants to. Vape is everywhere now. It's hard to escape.
Vape is everywhere.
It's super easy to relapse that shit. That being said, you aren't a bad friend either way. Forcing someone to do something they don't want will only result in losing that friend, though. I mean, I guess the moral dilemma here, or the more complicated component of this is, does this translate to other components of addiction? Because I think this is where you get into the thing where you go, well, my friend is a coke addict, and like he is fine. He just loves cocaine.
Yeah.
I want him to quit, but he doesn't want to. And it doesn't really affect his life in a bad way. I don't know what to do. And you kind of go, well, you should make him stop for sure. But then you kind of like, is there a difference
like
between this and vaping? I mean, I don't know. It's like,
A little bit of booger sugar ain't bad for nobody.
You know?
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Ooh, ha-ha.
So true.
We do not condone that statement.
Well, the question you're talking about like moderation, essentially. Like if somebody's like casually doing just like casually having big gulps or casually having McDonald's or casually doing cocaine, I don't know what's worse. Like if it's not affecting your life, it's all potentially harmful.
Right.
But if you're managing things and I don't know, like, can you smoke a cigarette every once in a while? Is it that big of a deal? Probably not. Can you do a tootski off the old booger sugar canoe?
Yep.
That's what people say. That's what kids are saying. Right?
That's how kids talk about booger sugar.
It's probably not that big of a deal.
Right.
Can you crush a big gulp every once in a while?
Well, we do have
this guy 100 big gulps a day.
That's a lot of bigs.
The guy's going down to Diabetesville.
Yep.
And he's going down on his rascal scooter.
That analogy spiraled into a wonderful way. Yeah, I mean, I think
so. This guy seems to be doing it to the point right. of harm, and his friends are concerned. And I think you kind of just say your piece and you gotta yeah. walk away.
I mean, moral objectivity is a funny thing because this is kind of what this is skirting around too. Is like, is it worth? Like, I would also argue that there are people that you know who are just like, I need to do P90X 3 times a day, and be like. I don't know if that's good for you, my guy.
That might be bad for your heart and your joints too. Like,
and then it seems like you being like, you need to stop working out so much is a dumb thing to say. But I think like anything else, I think the approach for this person is
look at Lance Armstrong. You know,
look at Lance. I mean, I think with any of this stuff, you go, hey man, we don't like you vaping around us. Can you do that outside? And force them to make their own decision. And again, it's like if you don't, this will change their relationship. I mean, I think this is what it comes down to.
And that's like, where the negative effects will start to happen. Once you become like, if you drink too much, you're always drunk and you're like acting like an asshole around your friends will slowly pull back and not want to be around you.
Exactly.
And now your social circles are sort of being disrupted,
right.
which can affect your life. And it might take time, but eventually that person will be like, fuck,
right.
this is my fault. And it's because of this.
Totally.
And I need to change that.
Totally.
And so maybe that's the best this people can do is like, we don't really want to be around you.
Exactly.
When you're hitting the vape, like in my baby's face on the bus.
Listen, Dan, for the last time, stop giving my baby vape juice, dude.
Stop vaping on my baby's head.
I've told you so many times.
Jeez.
Reddit, help me. My friend Dan will not stop giving my baby vape juice. Do I make my friend Dan stop giving him vape juice?
Vape juice.
Help me, Reddit.
Yeah, but how do you deal with a friend's
My
addiction?
Friend Dan's a real trickster and dumps vape juice in my baby's bottle every time he comes to visit. Should I end my friendship with my friend? No.
Yeah, it's...
You're being a helicopter parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him have fun.
Let him have fun, dude.
Yeah.
My baby's addicted to bubblegum jewel juice
that
my friend Dan was putting in his bottle when he was a kid. What do I do?
Fucking Dan.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those, we'll hit one random on your behalf, dog, and then
Thanks,
we're going to close this one out too. Dog Boobs is leaving the building.
Bye, y'all.
Taking her PC with her.
Did the PJ pull up outside?
The PJ pulled up. Time for me to catch a ride.
The private jet to Culver City. It takes you 20 minutes just to like get into the air. I love that.
So like, stupid.
We're in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
No
shit.
I gotta go to Culver City.
I said Culver City. Well, why did you take a private jet, you idiot?
For all of our listeners out there who know the topography of Los Angeles, that's for you guys.
That's it. Shout out to all our local LA residents. This moral dilemma seems a little more cut and dry. Well, actually, it's not, I guess. I mean, it's kind of up in the air. It's not
an
nearly
emotional
as...
one. I think it's tough to sort of not want to help.
Yeah, I mean,
Later,
it's tough
bitch.
When your friends, you know, it's tough when your friends are like that. All right, let's do one more moral dilemma, and then we'll hit a couple randoms and leave this popsicle stand. That's what they say. All right, so the top one, since we have done this one before, I'm not going to do all time, but we'll do past year.
Mm. Like past years. Let's see what people are talking about in 2000. What year is it? 19.
19. So my boss... So here's one that I think is vague. So this one says, this doesn't sit right. This was posted 2 months ago.
Well, I'm with you.
So I'm currently a beta tester for a device. It's a wireless wearable baby monitor that can be used up to age 5. It tracks heart rate, SpO2. What is that? O2, I guess
O2
oxygen
levels?
Intake, maybe?
I think oxygen in your blood.
Yeah. Thermal state, and will eventually have an eavesdrop filter. Eavesdrop feature, rather.
I don't
know what that means. Currently, the SpO2 algorithms are inaccurate and unstable. It's not responsive enough to pick up sudden drops in oxygen and is horribly inaccurate for children who have a systematically low oxygen level. Mm-hmm. They stated in January that they would not release a device to the public until they had fixed the problems with SpO2. Yet here they are about to start shipping to the public by the end of the week without having fixed it because they've run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentioned twice that I can find on their website, once in the feature section and once in the FAQs. But they are hiding people's comments on a Facebook post yesterday when I asked about the SpO2 limitations. Now, this is not an FDA-approved medical device, but I can't help but feel it is very wrong for them to release this public in its current or release this to the public in its current state. But I'm not entirely sure if the way I feel is justified or what it could even be about. Yeah, you're fucking justified. What are you talking about, dude? You're a tester, man.
Yeah. The other thing is like, I got a baby. I got two babies.
Right. Also, I'm not in the U.S. is what he says.
The fucking mommy blogs. You just get on one mommy blog, you drop any kind of concern over this, and it's going to spread like wildfire.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
People are not going to fuck around with a product that's like could potentially hurt their baby. I think this kind of thing should just start talking about it on those sites.
Yeah.
Be like, hey guys, just say what you just said here. Why are you on Reddit? Go to the mommy blogs. Nobody on Reddit has kids.
No, exactly.
It's the wrong place to be. I don't know. I think you're fine at bringing it up.
I mean, it seems this one is even more cut and dry where I don't think there's a moral dilemma here. I think the only dilemma is like, where do you fucking narc, you know?
How about this one? Stole a dog. That's what it just, that's the title.
Cool.
And we all immediately go, well, I'm not for stealing dogs.
Yeah, okay.
But wait, let's see what the guy
has to say. Let's see where this one goes. Yeah, sure.
This is by Post _ Zygote.
Okay.
I think it's Post Malone's Zygote little brother.
Nice.
My family and I recently found a dog. She was crossing the street and almost got hit by a car. She ran to us when we went up to her. She seemed so relieved. She's a Maltese poodle mix. So like
beautiful
a
dog.
Typical Mexican street dog. No collar. Her hair is matted. Her
Maltese.
Nails,
okay.
Her hairs are long. She's covered in dirt. Her hair has grown over her eyes. We took her to a vet. She had no microtip chip and has not been spayed. We had excessive nail clipped her, cleaned her. A few hours later, somebody posted about the lost dog saying that she was lost, but with a picture of her when she was probably around 2 months old, when she is now about 6 months old. So she's been gone for 4 months.
Right.
So there's no recent pictures of her on the owner's Facebook page. So we don't know what to do because they pulled multiple ticks off this dog, bathed her, clipped her, basically cleaned her up, maybe spent $200 on her.
Right.
This 2-month-old dog doesn't look like her. The people that want her back neglected her and want her back, and they don't want to give her to somebody who doesn't care about her. So they're kind of like saying,
they're being a good.
Well, should we give
thief.
It back?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, did the person really lose the dog?
So we think that they've been neglectful parents?
That's what the owners are saying. That's what the people who found her are saying. So I guess it's a lot of speculation. We don't know anything.
This is a tough one because it's
There's the old law, finders keepers.
Well, that's the law of the land, my friend.
That's the chimp law.
Chimp law, as we know it. I mean, I think that if it's been a neglected pet, I think that you probably need to let the authorities know as well. So this is actually a fascinating thing that I saw yesterday on the front page. So Trump, and I'll give the boy credit where credit's due, got to be honest. Don't know how much he had to do with this, but he signed into law making animal cruelty a felony.
Hmm.
So if you think that this is potentially a criminal neglect of an animal, then technically you should let the authorities know.
Yeah.
So in which
case, seems like they found this dog, maybe just roaming.
Right.
So of course it's been neglected because it's been on the streets.
Yes, you don't know if the neglect is coming from being on the streets or if it's coming from the family.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because at that point, it's like
direct neglect. It was like indirect neglect. Wait, Trump, the man. I just saw this yesterday. Trump is doesn't have a dog in the White House. The first person to not have a dog in the White House.
Right.
For 100 years.
That's insane.
which is wild. Which is so interesting, right?
I mean,
and I think he's like one of the only presidents with male sons in a long time. Everyone else had female, except for.
Huh.
It's just like there's like some weird tendencies that pop up
that are kind of accidental. Totally. Yeah, I've never thought about that, actually. That's funny. Like, he's, because, yeah, he has male son. I mean, who's the last one with
male
males?
Kids, not male sons, obviously, but yeah. George Bush Sr.
Yeah.
And then his son became, so cool. So that's a good thing.
Hopefully so that trend continues.
We could get a Trump Jr.
Oh, God. Can you fucking imagine?
In like 15, 20 years.
Barron Trump. President Barron Trump of the United States of New York only, because we will have seceded at that point.
If you put that bet down now, it'd be a good long bet, I think.
I mean, I think people would freak the fuck out. I don't think people would be too psyched on that. But, you know, didn't think we were going to get where we are now either. So
anyway.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, all right, so let's close this one out. We got a couple...
This one, this title just says, "Is this cheating?"
Ooh, moral love dilemmas. That.
I'm not even going to read it. Yes, it is.
Did you finish reading it?
Nope. But typically when someone's like, "Is this cheating?"
You're like, yeah. It is. Yeah.
This is cheating about a test versus, I assumed it was like cheating on a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's about a high school kid talking about his AP, like whatever.
Yeah, fascinating. I mean, we've obviously covered the sub in the past, but we didn't really talk much about the sub. It was really mostly about that strange question that we saw, just because it's technologically so interesting. And I think we're entering an era where these kinds of questions are increasingly important.
Yeah.
And as fucked as it is, and as much as we like, nobody wants to address those kind of questions because it's like a truly demonic, dark ass thing. But, you know, It's kind of the world we live in now, man. I mean, it's like we're in this point where you can be like, is it a better thing for us to create fake things to diminish harm to the real, to the victims, while potentially risking it becoming like a weird fucking porn fetish, right? And it's just what a weird question.
I think.
What a weird question. So,
I mean, we're in this time where long form conversations are not happening in politics or on the news. Everything's a soundbite, except for some podcasts like Joe Rogan,
right?
Are doing long, and people are really getting into it because they want to hear the argument. And so,
right.
Yes, having longer form, in depth conversations is, I think, how you get to the bottom of some of these very complicated topics.
Yep.
We need to do more of it.
Fascinating. I agree. All right. Let's hit a couple of randoms. Close this one out. Moral dilemmas. You can check it out, or you can go back to our first episode where we covered it. I think it was episode 65, I believe, is what I saw, maybe.
And, you know, thus being
63
Thanksgiving week and all.
Right.
Write a couple of these down.
Right.
Throw it out at dinner. Hey, what do you guys think of fake child porn?
Yeah.
And just see how that goes.
So we covered this in January of 2018.
Oh, cool.
Episode 63. Yeah. This was way before we were so much more professional. Almost 2 years.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, crazy. Cool.
We've been around for a long time.
We are veterans of the podcasting space, as one would say.
That's right.
Close to approaching 100,000 listeners total, which is kind of tight.
Thanks,
so,
guys.
Fucking tell your friends.
Thanks, listeners.
Tell your friends about this cool podcast that talks about child porn. Fake child porn. Everybody loves that.
And try to slip in hentai conversation into a conversation this week at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Also. And let us know about how it went.
So here's a interesting one. So this is a really popular sub, actually. It's called Don't You Know Who I Am? And it is a seemingly, so this is a place for instances of people not realizing who they're talking to is who they're talking about. So this is where, you know, you're in a coffee shop and someone goes, "Dude, I fucking hate that new Nickelback record." And then the guy from Nickelback's like, "That's my record, dude." I think it's stuff like that.
Got it.
But I could be wrong. This definitely belongs here. So what is the best? You're speaking to the manager. Well,
random? Yeah. I think I'm on like that. Some kind of an interesting thing where I keep hitting the random and it's locked me into this guy's page.
Ooh.
I think he had me on some kind of a Fortnite creative. Here we go. Switching topics. We're going to talk about Fortnite soon.
Can't wait. Because you got a homie who's a Fortnite hire, right?
Our friend George is kind of like a musical genius and a really funny guy and a Fortnite enthusiast to the max. And so
love it.
I know he's huge into this, and so I said, hey, we need to bring on a pro because we just are not. And I think we're going to have him help us break it down.
Love that. I landed on another, I mean, this is a kind of a, this is funny that given what we were just talking about, but it's deep web, which I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe at some point we could probably talk about the deep web. I mean, I think this is largely about questions and conversations about the deep web, but a lot of these things are fucked, man. I mean, I remember at one point I was on the deep web a little bit kind of as a, I was doing a piece for Vice.
You accidentally hired a hitman?
Well, I would remember seeing a lot of wild ass shit where I was seeing like guns for sale and hitmen and like kind of sketchy shit. So maybe we should question talk about this one at one point.
Yeah, I mean, will we all start using the deep web? Like if you want a more pure internet experience because things are getting so corporatized, will the deep web become a place
it's going to have to be more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff. Because right now I think the deep web is so associated with like dark, seedy shit. Like you need to start finding places on the deep web where you're just like, I just go there for the best memes, right?
But if in the future, let's just say we don't want our work tracking our internet habits. And the only thing we're doing on the internet is like reading about,
right.
I don't know, like, where to buy vape pens.
Well, that's a VPN, you know, that's not, thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think like privatized internet.
And right.
Untraceable internet, because
technically VPNs can solve that.
I don't actually use one because
you know what it is, though, right?
I do know.
Virtual
what it
private
is.
Network. So yeah. I use them sometimes. I mean, I use them if I feel like there is a legitimate chance of being like tracked for some shit that I don't want. Right. So it's like, I'm in a foreign country. I'm trying to get on my Netflix account, right? Like that's what VPNs are really good for, right?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, it's a fascinating topic. This is a really interesting moral dilemma that I think is something that we might see more of. Like I'm looking forward to that you know, episode 350 in 2022 when President Barron Trump tells everybody that he's legalizing fake child porn to minimize risk. We're gonna be like, we fucking talked about that, dude. Episode 169 or whatever. So, anyway, all right. So, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Be thankful.
Be thankful. We will be back in a couple weeks. We're still we have a guest that will eventually be getting on. That is a repeat guest. That's not, his name does not rhyme with Munkle G. yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Bye.